Good morning.
Good morning.
Appreciate everyone here and those who are worshiping with us remotely. Let's start with our memory verse for our family devotionals, which is Acts 2:38. And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." I want to remind you, these family devotionals, they're available on the table in the foyer, the one that's up against the glass. As you leave, you can take one if you don't have one. We print these a month at a time, and they're also available on our website. I want to say, regarding our family devotionals, if you've not done that as a family at home, and any size family can do it, a family of one, a family of five or six. If you've not done them with your family, when you start, it will probably be awkward. And if it's awkward, that's probably what you should expect it to be when you start. And so the key is keep doing it. It's like anything you're not used to doing. It may not become comfortable or natural until you do it a while. But stay with it. I really want to encourage that. It's our emphasis this first quarter of the year to focus on God's Word. And so I really want to remind you of that. Last week we had a sermon, Faith in the Fog, and last week it was about how to trust when you don't understand. Today's is about how to serve far from your comfort zone. We're going to continue with the life of Moses this morning. We'll be in Exodus 3. We'll start in chapter 3. We will end in chapter 4. So Exodus chapter 3, where we pick up here, Moses is with his father-in-law. He has left Egypt because he was afraid for his life. And so it's been about 40 years, and he's out tending his father-in-law's flock one day, and God appears to him in a bush. The bush is on fire, and Moses notices that. That would catch your eye out. You know, in the field or out in the woods, and for something to be on fire, that'll get your attention. And then the bush did not burn up, and so Moses goes to check that out, and God speaks to Moses. He says, "Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." You think about it, God has been providing for Moses since before he was born. And God has been blessing Moses and working in his favor all his life. This first conversation with God starts out in a very unique way. God's first words to Moses, "Don't come near." Don't come near. Which is a little odd, maybe, because isn't God a loving God? Doesn't God want us near? Well, the first thing God establishes with Moses is God and Moses are not the same. They're not the same. God is holy. And holiness is a concept that I think we all probably struggle with to some extent. What does it mean to be holy? Well, that's something to talk about. It's complicated, but in its most simplest form, holy is special. It's different. And an aspect of that is, in a moral way, it's good and right. But God's also different than us. He's above us. So far above us. We don't comprehend it all, but what God does tell Moses that he could comprehend is, stop, take your sandals off. You're walking on holy ground. You are near God Almighty. When Mike started his prayers today over the Lord's Supper, I don't know if you noticed, but he started his prayers, "Hallowed be your name." Holy is God's name. And so that's where we start in today's lesson, is God is holy. So we'll get more into this and learn more, but God starts with Moses saying, "Listen, you and I are not on the same, we're not on the same plane." So you read on in verse 6. He said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. We'll talk about I am a little more in a minute, but starting out, God, this is Moses is God. He's saying, I'm the God of your people. Now, granted, Moses grew up an Egyptian. He didn't grow up as an Israelite, but he knew he was an Israelite. And he tried to help his people, and that's why he killed the Egyptian, and that's why he had to flee. He knew who his people were, but he didn't know God. So God speaks to him here. I'm the God of your people, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Now, God speaks about it in a way that a casual observer would miss. He didn't say, I was the God of Abraham, who's dead now, of Isaac, who's dead now. No, those men are still living. They're just not living on earth. They're living on the other side. Their souls are still living. I am the God of. And then Moses hides his face. Why did Moses hide his face? Let's pause that. Hold that question for a minute. If you could ask God a question, if you could have one moment with God, you get 60 seconds with God, you can ask him one thing. What would you ask? You know, sometimes people will say, I can't wait to get to heaven because I'm going to ask God, did Adam and Eve have a belly button? You know, that always kind of, I always kind of wondered about that. And I just want to ask, when I get to heaven, sometimes we think this way. I want to ask God something. The truth is, sometimes, and some people are too chummy with God. They're too chummy. What I mean is, they treat God like he's one of us, like he's a buddy like we are, like he's just a casual friend on our level. Too chummy, too casual. Sometimes people are too accusing of God. Job was this way. Job was innocent, but he should not have accused God the way he did. He didn't accuse God of wrong, but he did want to talk with God. He demanded a meeting with God Almighty, and when he got it, he stopped talking. He stopped talking. He didn't have anything to say when he finally got his meeting. People in the Bible, when they really encounter God, not God in all his fullness, we couldn't handle that. God in some limited aspect, when people encounter God, and an angel is an aspect of that, when they really encounter God, they're afraid. Because God is all overpowering. God is of a nature that when we really get with God, I don't know what it's going to be like, but I imagine we might just be speechless. We might just be in awe. Moses was afraid. Now, Moses didn't know God like he's about to, like he's going to. He's afraid. Now, remember Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's not that we should fear that God wishes us bad or God wants to harm us. God doesn't want to harm us. He wants to save us. God wishes us good. God is trying to help us. He's trying to lead us. But he is holy, and we have to start out and understand that. And when we understand how amazing and holy and almighty he is, we begin with a fearful respect of that. Fearful respect. And so that's how Moses kind of gets off on the right track here. Well, God tells Moses, I've seen your people, the Israelites' affliction. I've come to deliver them. I'm going to take your people to the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. It's going to be wonderful. In verse 10, he says, come, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Notice how God talks about the Israelites, my people. And that speaks to God's love of his people. Sometimes we look at the Old Testament and we think, boy, God sure was harsh back then. And some examples of that do exist. But God loves. God is a loving God. Always has been. And he loved his people, the Israelites. And he's going to take care of them. But the second thing he says to Moses is, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. Well, remember, the reason Moses is in the place where he's at with this new family is because he left Pharaoh. He was afraid of Pharaoh. He was afraid Pharaoh would kill him. And God says, I'm going to send you back to him. Well, notice this. That was 40 years ago. When I was in college, one of my jobs, I worked at a movie theater in Oklahoma City, AMC Movie Theater, and in the, this would be in the late 80s, early 90s, a movie came out, New Jack City. New Jack City came out, and our movie theater had, you know, just kind of certain type of clientele, certain type of people who would come to the movies, and New Jack City brought out a whole different type. And there were, it was kind of a rough crowd. And part of what you would notice with the crowd that would come to watch New Jack City is, you know, I would hear about gang members, and but when I worked those nights, I saw gang members. And I mean, young teenage boys pull out a roll and have to run through some hundreds to get down to a 20 to pay me for their popcorn. I'm not trying to judge a person's heart. I'm saying the crowd was a little rough. We were a little on edge during those nights, all right? And so one night during that time, I was working the concession stand, which we were kind of behind a counter, but I was going to the back to get some supply out of the back, and halfway to the back, I heard gunshots. And so I kept going the way I was going. I'm like, I think I'm going the right direction. And so I go in the back, and then upstairs in the back was a kind of not a large area, but that's where that we kept more items, candy and just different supplies. So not only do I go to the back, but I go upstairs. And I'm up there, and pretty soon it's maybe 10 of us up there. Some were employees, some were moviegoers, who everybody's running somewhere. And it was a drive-by shooting outside. This isn't the point of the story, but some of you, I'm trying to learn as a preacher, some of you want to know, did anybody die? No one died. Someone got shot in the leg. I don't really know much more of the details. But I know Elliot, when danger was this way, Elliot went that way. Moses left Pharaoh for good reason. And God says, I'm going to send you to him. I'm going to send you back. Okay. Well, verse 11, Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Now, notice a contrast here. 40 years earlier, Moses was pretty confident. He noticed his people, the Israelites. He noticed them being oppressed. He noticed one Egyptian being harsh to an Israelite, and he intervenes and kills the Egyptian. 40 years later, Moses is pretty confident. He'll do something. You need something? God, you need something done about this problem? I'm your man. And 40 years has passed, and he's not very confident now. Sometimes as Christians, when we are young, we're enthusiastic, we're ready to go, let's do it, what's holding us back, let's go. And when we get older, we may fade in our confidence in what God can do with me. Sometimes I'll encounter someone who's aging, and their health is bad, and they're struggling, and they are ready to go. They're ready to go to their new life. They're ready. But God's not ready for them to do that yet because they're still alive and they don't know why am I still alive. I'm ready to go. They don't understand that they can still do something for God. Do you realize as long as you're breathing and in your right mind, you can pray. Pray for many, many wonderful things. And if you think there's more effective things you can do with your time than pray, I would argue with you. I'd put prayer at the top. You want to be effective in God's kingdom? Be a prayer warrior. And so if maybe you're watching from home and you can't even come to service physically, get a list of people who need prayers. Get a church directory out. Be a prayer warrior. I'm saying there's more God can do with us than we realize. And here Moses says, God, I think you've got the wrong guy here. Who am I? Well, God has been planning all this. Verse 12, God says, I will be with you. And this shall be the sign for you that I've sent you. When you brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. God's got this figured out. When I was a young boy, I was probably, maybe 8 years old. My brother was older than I was, and there was a time when the song leader in Shakota, we had one main song leader at that time, Charlie Grimes, an old man. He probably wasn't that old, but to me, being young, he seemed really old. And he picked out my brother and a couple guys about his age and me for some reason and honed in on the four of us and wanted to help us learn to be song leaders. And he would bring us up, might be a Wednesday night or a Sunday night, but he would bring us up front one at a time. He'd work with us privately and then bring us up, and we would start the song. We would start the song, but he would stand up there with us. And so depending on how we started it, we might be way off on the pitch. He would jump in and really take it if we needed it, right? If we needed it. If we did okay, then we'd kind of jump in there. But I remember starting out, he didn't just send us up there, here's your book, now go see if you can do it. He would stand up there with us. Do you realize how much comfort and confidence as a boy that you have when a grown man is standing beside you who knows how to do it? And God tells Moses, he says, Moses, I'm going to send you, but I will be with you. I'll be with you. Well, Moses has some questions. Moses starts running through problems with God's plan. He says, if I go to my people of Israel, they're going to ask, who sent me? Who do I say you are? That's why I say Moses doesn't know God. He doesn't even know what to call him. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. That's kind of a weird name, I think. I am. It's really short. Like, God, can you give us more information? I am. And the power is in the simplicity of it. God's not like us. You and I have a history, we have a present, and we have a future. We hope for some things in the future. But in our past, have you ever made a mistake? You ever done something wrong? Go ahead. You ever done something wrong and you knew it was wrong before you did it? And it was wrong? Went ahead and did it. Oh, we had some hands go down. I know all of them should be up. I mean, we have a past. You ever done anything that was dumb? We're not gonna go around and talk about it, but I'm just saying, dumb. Just, you look back at yourself and just shake your head, disgusted with your own self. We have a past that's very flawed. We have a present that's still not perfect and a future that's still not going to be perfect. You ever change your mind and don't look at someone next to you? Husbands, do not elbow her, but you ever change your mind? We're fickle. And God, his name, he says, I am. He's eternal, always has been. Oh, it has always existed. He will always exist. He's the same. God will grant us a wish, but he doesn't change his mind like we do. I am. Reading on verse 15. God also said to Moses, say to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. So this is God's proper name, the Lord. You'll notice in the text here and in your Bible, most likely the word Lord in your Bible is in all caps, all capitals. And that's just a way that probably started with King James, I'm not sure, but that's a way that English translators have designated this is. It's Yahweh in the Hebrew. The word is Yahweh or Jehovah. But this is God's proper name. And so when you see in the Bible the word Lord, in the original text, there may be different words that are translated Lord. Sometimes in your Bible, it's, again, the New Testament, when Paul was blinded on the road, And he cries, and he calls out, "Yes, Lord." That's not Jehovah. That's not Yahweh. It's not in all caps. But God tells Moses, "My name is Yahweh." And that's from a verb that means to be. To be. God's proper name is so simple, but it's so profound. God just is. Yahweh, Jehovah. So God tells Moses, go to the elders. You tell them the Lord, your God, the God of your fathers, has sent you. And then God tells Moses, I promise, after I bring you up from your affliction in Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. God promises Moses, which is a little, you know, Moses doesn't know God. He'll learn that really God doesn't promise a lot, because everything God says is a promise. Everything God says, God stands by it. Then God says, the Israelites will listen to your voice, Moses. They will listen to you, all right? And then y'all go to Pharaoh and you tell him, my people need to go into the wilderness and sacrifice to God. Verse 19, but I know that the king of Egypt, this is God talking, I know the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by my mighty hand. God knows the future. I want you to think of a problem that you have right now, a problem in your life, something that worries you. God knows. When you think about a problem, you think about what might happen. What's going to happen? Is it going to be this? Is it going to be that? God not only knows the future, he knows all the problems that will truthfully happen and all the ones that won't. God knows what's coming. He's already prepared the future. He's already solved your problems. He's already handled it. He has it all figured out. God is in your future. Isn't that weird? Because we worry about the future. But God tells Moses, here's how this is going to go. God knows how it's going to go with Pharaoh. Some of it's going to go easy. Some of it's not so easy. He's not going to let you go. And I'm sure Moses said, well, that's what I thought would happen. I didn't think he would let us go. God said, he won't. Verse 20. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do in it. After that, he will let you go. That's the 10 plagues. This is God's plan. God knows what will happen. He's already solved it. He has it figured out. So when you and I worry about the future, isn't that funny sometimes? Where we pray and we try to trust God, but God's got it all figured out, but we try to figure it out, don't you? Don't you think about all the scenarios and a problem in your future? How are we going to do this? I don't know. Maybe we could do this. I don't know. I don't know, but I just keep thinking about it. You ever think about something that's unsolvable, but you just keep worrying about it anyway? I just keep worrying. We're round and round and round and round and round. Meanwhile, God's saying, you know, I'm already there. I'm already there. Just hold my hand. I got this. Then God tells Moses, I have to go through this quickly, but this is a neat part of the story. God tells Moses, hey, by the way, when you do leave Egypt, y'all are going to plunder the Egyptians. And here's how that played out. Each woman, this is Israelite woman, shall ask of her neighbor and any woman who lives in her house for silver or gold jewelry. So the Israelite women would go to their Egyptian neighbors and say, any women in this house, can we have your jewelry, your gold, your silver, your jewels? Can we have your jewelry and clothes? We could use some clothes too. Can we have that? And they just gave it. God says, you shall put them on your sons and your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. God made that happen. Isn't that amazing? It's a small, that when you think of the plagues, when you think of this story with Moses, you may think of the plagues, but this is a part of it that's pretty amazing, what God did. And God, nothing is impossible for God. This is a layup for God, but I just love it. Chapter 4, Moses answered, but behold, they will not believe me, or listen to my voice, for they will say the Lord did not appear to you. Moses says, I'm going to go to the Israelites, but they're not going to believe this God. So God tells Moses, what's in your hand? A staff. Throw it down. He throws it down. It turns into a snake. Moses runs away from the snake, which is the proper thing to do from a snake, by the way, a serpent. And then God tells Moses, you grab it by the tail. And I tip my hat to Moses. He does. He grabs that serpent by the tail, and it became a staff again. Then God had him put his hand. Hold your hand out. God turned it to leprosy. Now stick it in your coat. Now pull it out again. And it was healed. That's sign number two. Then number three, God says, if they will not believe you or listen to the first sign, they may believe the latter sign. If they won't believe even the two signs, listen to your voice. You shall take some water from the Nile. So God has three signs for him. This one's water to blood. God has figured out for, he's already figured this out for Moses. If the elders won't believe him, do some miracles. Well, Moses finds another reason. Moses says, I'm not eloquent. I'm not eloquent. I can't talk well. God's starting to get irritated here. Who made man's mouth? Who made him mute, deaf? Sometimes when we pray to God and we say, God, this is a problem, God is saying, don't you think I know that? Don't you think I know? But God, this is happening. Why are you letting this happen? I know I'm letting it happen. God wants us to pray and ask for help, but don't pray like you're informing God of something. He already knows. And notice God says, I will be with your mouth. I'll be with you, Moses. Finally, Moses, verse 13, he says, please send someone else. Have you ever not wanted to do something and you had reasons why you were afraid of something? You didn't want to do it, so you had these what you thought were logical, real reasons, but when it really boiled down to it, you're just afraid. It's just this crippling emotion of fear. And Moses is focused on his fear, and God is trying to get him to focus on God. Trust God. God says, you have a brother, your brother can talk for you. I'll be with both of you. So he sends him back to Egypt. Moses goes in verse 20. I love this. Moses gets his wife, gets his family together. They're going to go back to Egypt. He takes that staff. I got to hand it to Moses. God said, take the staff. So he takes it. When I think of us today, I look at the Holy Spirit as our staff. Which is a little weird to think about because you don't take the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in the Christian, but he's with you. He's with you. God in his spirit is with you, not outside of you, inside of you. God is with us. Anywhere we go, anything we need to do on God's behalf, he's with us. The Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do before Pharaoh all the miracles I put in your power, but I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Short explanation for why is that not wrong on God's behalf to harden someone's heart. The fact is, Pharaoh would have tapped out well early in the 10 plagues. Pharaoh did not. He refused to let the Israelites go. Pharaoh had a bad heart. He was not godly. God gave him some plagues, and Pharaoh was ready to tap out. But God has 10 plagues that he wants to show his power. And so he lengthens Pharaoh's refusal. That's the hardening of his heart, okay, for God to show his glory. But I want to point out that don't you think this threw Moses for a loop? Moses is like, I'm afraid he'll say no. And God says, yeah, I'm going to make him say no. He's going to say no at first. And then when he's ready to say yes, I'm going to make him keep saying no. Well, God, that's what I was afraid of. Yep, that's how it's going to go. So Moses goes and he gets the elders and he does the signs in front of the people, the Israelites. This was part of what Moses was afraid of. And a most beautiful thing happens. The people believed. They believed. Just like God said they would. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel, that he had seen their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshiped. The people believed. God loves it when we believe him because that means we trust him. And when we trust him, isn't that something? We walk by faith. I want you to think about something that maybe you could do for God, but you're nervous about doing it. Maybe it's helping in our children's classes, being just a helper. Or maybe it's teaching one of our children's classes. I don't know about that, preacher. Maybe it's being a greeter, coming on Monday night for the master and helping in some way. Maybe that's just, I don't know what that would be like. That makes me nervous. I don't know what it is for you that God may be trying to do. Maybe it's handing out one of our blessing bags to a homeless person. But don't you know that feeling when your mind says, self, this is a good thing. God probably wants me to do this. And your own self says, your fear says, I don't know. I don't know. I'm encouraging you to trust God. Step out of your comfort zone and let God use you like he wants to. We're going to sing a song of encouragement this morning. There may be something on your heart that you'd like us to pray on your behalf for. If you're not a Christian, if you're not ready to meet God in judgment, we can help you be ready. If you've never become a Christian, we can help you do that. And my question would be, why are you waiting? What are you waiting for? Why are we waiting? We're a room full of Christians here. This is the family of God, the kingdom of God. God will take you just as you are. And you can grow from there. Let us help you if you'd come while we stand and sing.
This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground. For the Lord is present, and where he is holy. This is holy ground. We're standing on holy. I know that there We